Open up your Bibles with me. Let's go to the book of John. John chapter 9. John chapter 9. Let's just pick up right in verse 1. It says, "As Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, 'Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?' Jesus answered, 'Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world.' When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said to him, 'Go wash in the pool of Siloam,' which by interpretation, sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing." So we have Jesus here coming up, and we have a blind man. You know, everybody's always wanting to know what's going on and whose fault is this and that when things go on. But, you know, there's sometimes things that are there, and God's going to get the glory for taking care of it. See, there's some things that will come up in your life, and you're wondering why in the world, what have I done, or who did this, or whatever. And it's nothing other than maybe an attack of the enemy, but God's always there to help you with that. So the Lord Jesus Christ is here, and what I want to bring out on this, though, is the fact that he says, "I have to work the works while I have time. I've got to do God's work while there's time, because there's a time coming that I won't be able to do God's work." Can I tell you something? He says, "I am the light of the world, but now you and I are the light of the world." And just like Jesus, you and I have to do the works of God while we have time. See, you can't wait around. You can't put it off. You can't say, "Well, you know, I'm going to do that later." A lot of folks do that. You know, "Well, I'll get around to it." I preached a message one time, and I made a whole bunch of little circles and put round to it on it and gave it to everybody so they'd have a round to it. Okay? Because that's the way we are. We want to put off, you know. But the Bible tells us over in Ephesians, and I want to read it to you because I want you to see it here. In Ephesians chapter 5, 15 and 16, here's what the Word says. Paul writing, he says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." Now, that circumspectly means exactly or with caution and with care. Don't just go walk stumbling around. Make sure you're watching your steps. Make sure that you walk circumspectly, not as fool, just roaming around. "Redeeming the time, because the days are evil." Redeeming the time. That means taking advantage of the time, because we can look around and see that the days are evil. If the world ever needed Jesus, it needs it now. I mean, we've always needed Jesus, but I'm just telling you that when you look around, you know, there was a time that even the world had a respect for God. They may not have served Him, they may not give their life, but they had a respect for God, and they had a respect for the children of God. But we're living in times now where a lot of folks don't even know who God is. And we're also living in times where the world really hates the church. The world hates the Christian people. You know, and I understand to know that they're, you know, the Catholic Pope just died and folks are, you know, flocking there. But I'm going to tell you something. Salvation's not found in a man. Salvation is found only in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, that died on a cross for our sins, was placed in a tomb, and rose again on the third day. So if we're going to put our faith in somebody, we've got to put our faith in Him. Now, we can have confidence in man as long as they follow God, because Paul said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." But you and I have to take this time that God has given us, and we need to be using it for the glory of God. The only thing that's going to matter on this earth about what we've done is whether or not it was of any heavenly value. Now, you can get all the accolades and you can make all the accomplishments. You can climb the corporate ladder. You can do all those things. Nothing wrong with those things. But that's not things that give glory to God. Come on now. You know, I've said this before and I'll say it again. We can raise up our kids and they can be doctors and they can be lawyers and they can even become president of the United States. But if they don't have Jesus in their life, then they failed. Because the only thing matters in this world is that we get Jesus in our life and serve Him, because that's what we were created for, right? The whole duty of man, the Word of God says, is to love God and to keep His commandments. Now, God doesn't mind us doing those other things. Matter of fact, He loves when we do those things. He loves when we're successful, but we give Him the glory for it. You see? And, you know, Jesus is saying, you know, here's this blind man, and it's not because anybody did anything wrong. But He said, I'm getting ready to work the works of God, and God's going to get the glory for His healing. You see, God gets glory when we do things that He says we can do. When we do lay hands on the sick and they recover according to the Word of God, God gets the glory for that. The Word of God says you can heal the blind. Lay hands on them. Now, you're not a healer, but Jesus is. Somebody say, well, I don't know now about that, Pastor. Listen, Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. You know, I was talking to somebody yesterday about it, and I said, you know, what that tells me is we got a believing problem. Because God's not a liar. He's not a man that he can lie. He can't lie. So if he said it, it's true. So we're the one that falls short. You see, and a lot of times it's just because, you know, we have a finite mind, and it's hard for us to see the fact that the world and everything in it is infinite. Did you hear me? Everything is infinite. You and I are infinite beings. We're eternal beings. Whether you're lost or you're saved, you're eternal. And what you do with Jesus here on this earth will determine where you spend your eternity at. And so we need to be about the Father's business. Just like the Lord Jesus Christ says this. He said, you know, I got to do the works of Him while it's day, because when night comes, no man can work. Well, you know, when we look at this and we start walking circumspectly and we start really redeeming the time for God, we understand that time is short. See, if you don't have God in your life, you're kind of foolish to think that you've got another day. A lot of times, you see, people do that. You know, I mean, I've heard a lot of folks say, well, you know, one of these days I'm going to give my life to the Lord. You don't know if you've got one of these days. What you know is that you have this moment right now. You have this time right now. There's breath in your body right now. So it's time to get about the Father's business, and not to delay it, not to put it off, not to be waiting. We need to be doing the Father's business. We need to be serving God and putting God first in our life. I'm telling you, I know the world has a lot to offer, and we see people going after it all the time. And we watch as you know, the world, it elevates other things. You know, sports is one of the things that's been elevated, you know. I mean, it's Sunday. That's what people look forward to on Sunday, a lot of folks, you know. But here's the thing. Sports won't get you to heaven. You know, it don't matter what team wins. Come on, don't matter what team loses. That's all entertainment. Entertainment won't get you to heaven. Only Jesus will. Only being born again will get you to heaven. And so we need to make sure that we're redeeming the time. And we understand God doesn't mind sports. God doesn't mind you playing sports, being part of sports, watching sports. He doesn't mind any of that. But He wants you to put Him first. Amen. And, you know, when I say put Him first, I'm talking, you know, that we're actually making an effort and understand that I don't have a lot of time here. If you live to be 100 years old, you still don't have a lot of time. Listen to what James said. Jump over here with me to James chapter 4, verse 13. He says this, James 4, 13. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas, you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. You see, what James is trying to tell us here is that all of our plans ought to be according to the will of God. We ought to have God's will in it. Now, you see, you say, well, you talk about God's will and you talk about us, you know, not praying if it be thy will a lot of times, you know, and I still stick to that, okay? If you understand that God's word is God's will, okay? So if I pray according to the word, I don't say have to say, Lord, if it's your will, because it is His will, it's His word. It's those circumstances when you're dealing with something and you don't know the will of God when you say what He said, Because you don't know if you're going to go over there and you're going to stay there a year and you're going to spend the day. You don't know that. So that would be a place where you'd say, Lord, if it's your will, I'm going to go over there. It's where I'm going to work for a year and I'm going to make money, you know. But when it comes to the things that are in the Word, healing is God's will. Prosperity is God's will. Now, I'm not talking about the prosperity that, you know, preachers are prostituting out here. Come on now. I'm talking about the fact that God wants you blessed. Amen. And God will bless you according to His Word and according to His will. And His will is to bless you. Right? The blessing of the Lord maketh rich and He adds no sorrow to it. You know, I understand that there's preachers on TV that are, you know, send us $1,000 and the only one getting rich is him or her or whoever it is. But no, God wants you living a good life. That's why Jesus said, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Live it to the fullest. Live it to the full. God wants you blessed. Beloved, I wish above all things that you mayest prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. God wants you to have a good life. In order to have a good life in God, you have to put God first. See, I can't expect the blessing of God and not do what the Word of God says. Amen. There's a particular car company, I'm not going to mention any names, but there's a particular car company that sells vehicles, and they give you a lifetime warranty on your drivetrain. A lifetime warranty for the life of the vehicle. You know, anything goes wrong with the drivetrain, engine, transmission, that kind of thing like that, lifetime warranty on it. And you're like, yes, how can you beat that? Well, what they don't tell you is the little catch. And that's that they got to service it for you, or a certified, you can't change your own oil, in other words. Somebody that's certified has to change your oil. You have to take it back every 15,000 miles and let them check out the vehicle every 15,000. There's all these things that are written that you got to know or you don't get the lifetime warranty. You say, well, what's that got to do with anything spiritual? Can I tell you, you got a lifetime warranty with God. You got eternal life with God, but you got to do what the book says. There's certain things written that you got to do if you want to go to heaven. Come on, you must be born again. That's, you know. But he also talks about us living holy, living this. I mean, you know, right? He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. Come on, I don't believe you can get saved and live however you want to live and still make it to heaven. I think you've got to stick to the book, stick to the rules. And God doesn't listen. So many folks will, you'll hear people talk about what a hard old way it is and I'll tell you, serving the Lord, you hear them singing songs and all that. Listen, serving God is not hard. What makes it hard is when you want to serve God, but you want to stay in the world at the same time. You cannot serve God and play with the devil. Come on, the Bible says you can't serve two masters. You got to make up your mind, I'm going to live for God. That means I'm putting Him first. That means I've kicked the devil out, locked the door, changed the locks. He don't have a key. Neither give place to the devil, right? I'm going to live for Him. Come on. And see, when you do that, it's easy to do because you're living your life to please God. And I promise you, if you're living your life to please God, your life will be pleasing too. Because there's nothing like living for God. There's nothing like the peace, folks, of knowing that when you lay your head down at night, should you never open your eyes up on this earth, you'll be looking at Jesus. You're going to heaven. That's the peace that passes all understanding. There's nothing like knowing at all times that my Lord is watching over me and He's always working all things together for good for me. Now, there's times that we all go through things. We all have troubles. Jesus said in this world, you're going to have tribulation. But be a good cheer. I've overcome the world, He says. We ought to be a good cheer all the time. Why? Because no matter what we face, God's right there with us. He'll never leave us, never forsake us. But you know, if we're not putting Him first, then we put ourselves in a peculiar place with God. Not that God won't do everything that He can, but sometimes we tie God's hands and He can't do it because we're not where we need to be doing what we should be doing. Come on, think about it for a minute. We need to make sure we're understanding that God's got to come first, and we got to be doing what we need to be doing now while we have time. It's too late whenever the trumpet sounds. It's too late when that car collides with another car and you die instantly. It's got to be done now. while there's time. Make preparations before time. He says here, James says, our life is just like a vapor. So we need to be doing the will of God. And he goes on to say, to know to do good and not do it, sin. Well, we know we should be doing certain things, right? Jump over here with me to Luke chapter 12. Let me show you something here. Luke chapter 12, verse 15. He says, he said to them, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. Let me just stop there just a second here, because that's exactly the opposite of what the world thinks. Right? Here the Bible says that your life doesn't consist of the things that you possess. The world will tell you, you know, the more you accumulate, the more wealth you get, the more things you have and all, that's you're living now. But that's not what the Word of God says. Nothing wrong with those things. Again, I believe God wants to bless you. But that shouldn't be your life. Those things should not mean. Paul said, everything that I've ever accomplished, I counted as dung that I might win Christ. The main thing is that we have Christ in our life. So he says it's not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Notice that I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and I'll do this. And I'll say to my soul, take your ease. Look at the next verse. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Notice that he had an eye problem. He was talking, planning on it. He made all these plans and he left out God. See, he had been blessed of God for his fields to bring forth plenty, right? God was blessing him with a bountiful harvest. But instead of him thanking God and giving God his part and giving God glory for it, he begins to think, you know, I'm not going to bless nobody. I'm not going to share what I've got here. Matter of fact, you know, see, you've got to understand, he could have filled up the barns he had and he could have blessed other people with his excess. But instead he said, I'm going to tear down them barns and build bigger barns. And I'm going to lay up a whole lot of stuff for myself. And he never gave God any glory. And God says, you're a fool. To be called a fool is a pretty rough word. He said, you're a fool. This night shall thy soul be required of thee. And then he goes on to make it a little bit worse and says, then who's going to get you stuff? Right? See, folks are all working hard. They're doing all to lay up. And nothing wrong with that. That's the Bible talks about a wise man laying up for his children's children. Nothing wrong with that. But there comes a point in time that you have to see, make sure that you're not laying this up for you to say, I got it made, and not understanding that so there comes that point that enough's enough. It's time now to start being a blessing. You've been blessed, now be a blessing. This man could have been a blessing. I mean, you know, he could have done some glorious things. He could have said, listen, what a testimony. You know what? God blessed me so much that he filled up every barn I had. And I've got all this left over, and I want to bless you because God blessed me, and I know he wants you to be blessed. Man, would God got glory out of that? He sure would have, but no, that's not what he wanted to do. Somebody else is going to get it now. I promise you, I know folks that live all their lives working hard, make a lot of money, got a lot of money in the bank. And guess what? Somebody's going to spend it. They won't because, see, they love the money. They love knowing they got it. It's a security thing. Well, you can't take care of yourself. Can I tell you that? Without God, you can't take care of yourself. If God's not first in your life, if money's the thing that you place in your security, and I've heard people say, well, I'll tell you what, now times are getting bad. You better be starting investing in some gold. I got news for you. If it gets so bad that money's no good, Jesus has taken us out of here. I don't know about you, and you better be ready, because cash won't matter, gold won't matter, nothing's going to matter on this earth other than Jesus. Amen. So we have to understand this. God's got to be first. Now again, God blessed him, so you know God wants people blessed. But the fact was, he never gave God any glory for it. Every one of us are sitting here right now, we could start thinking about how God has blessed us. We could think of ways that God has blessed us. Let me ask you, have we given him glory for it? I pray that all of us have. You know, I think we all understand and know where our blessing comes from, where our help comes from, right? Bible says, I'm going to look to the hills from where my help comes from. I'm going to look to the Lord, you know. The Lord gave us all that we have right now. He's blessed us the way he has. And so, you know, what is it to ask us to make sure that we put him first in it and give him glory for it and be about his business? But this man did not. Now, let me just say this, that every day that we delay allowing God to work in our lives is another day, really, that we're living in misery. You say, well, I'm not in misery, and, you know, I don't have God in my life. Yes, you are. Because I know what it's like, just like you know what it's like, to not have the confidence and the assurance that if you leave this earth, you're going to heaven. See, when you know you're going to heaven, you might not want to die right now. I don't want to die right now. But if I died right now, I know I'm going to heaven. Can you say that? You see, allowing God to work in your life means you've made him Lord of you and Savior of your life. And now you're living for him. You're doing what the Word of God says. And you're being an example of a believer. An example of what it's like to live for God. Isn't it sad that a lot of the body of Christ, if you looked at their example, you wouldn't be able to tell the difference in their life and somebody that's in the world. You wouldn't be able to tell the difference in their life and somebody that's not going to heaven. Matter of fact, you might look at some lives and they might look like more like somebody going to heaven than some of the church. Why is that? Because they're not putting God first in their life. They're kind of like this rich man. They're trusting in their own riches, trusting in their own resources, trusting in all their own selves instead of trusting in God and putting God first. So we need to make sure we do that. In Exodus chapter 8, I want you to take you over there and I want to read something here for you. Exodus chapter 8, this is when all the plagues were coming upon the Egyptian people for holding the children of Israel captive. And in verse 8, we have this plague, the second plague. And it says, and the Lord spake to Moses, go unto Pharaoh and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. And if thou refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite all thy borders with frogs. And the river shall bring forth frogs abundantly, which shall go up and come into thine house, and into thy bedchamber, and upon thy bed, and into the house of thy servants, and upon thy people, and into thine ovens, and into thy kneading troughs. And the frogs shall come up both on thee, and upon thy people, and upon all thy servants. Now I want you to just look where the frogs are. They're everywhere, right? Even in their food. You see that? I want you to see this, okay? And the Lord spake to Moses, saying, Moses, say unto Aaron, stretch forth thine hand with thy rod over the streams, over the rivers, and over the ponds, and cause frogs to come up upon the land of Egypt. And Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantments and brought up frogs upon the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, entreat the Lord that he may take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go, that they may do sacrifice unto the Lord. And Moses said to Pharaoh, glory over me. When shall I entreat for thee, for thy servants, and for thy people, to destroy the frogs from thee and thy houses, that they may remain in the river only? And he said, tomorrow. And he said, be it according to thy word, that thou mayest know that there is none like unto the Lord our God. Now, I want to stop it there, because here's what I want you to see here. Frogs are everywhere. They're in their food. They're in their beds. They're anywhere they go, in their oven. When they open the oven to try to fix food, there's frogs there. Now, I want you to think about that. They're everywhere. And Pharaoh goes and sends word to Moses, please come and entreat the Lord for me. You know, Moses is happy. He's glad. You know, he said, I'll let you go, let you worship God. You know, Moses, glory over me. And what he says, praise the Lord. All right, when you want me to do it? Now, would you not have said right now? Right this minute. Now. Pharaoh says, tomorrow. That means they've got to spend at least another night with frogs in their bed. Think about that for a minute. You know, we think, I mean, how many think that's just kind of foolish of Pharaoh? I mean, I do. I think it's ridiculous, man. Right now, you know. I go to the doctor sometimes. They'll say, you want a shot or you want pills? I say, I want a shot. Why? Because it works faster. Because I want to carry this around for 2 weeks while I'm taking pills. If you can give me a shot, the quicker the better. Right? Come on. He could have got a shot of the Holy Ghost there. Shot of God and got rid of the frogs, but he said tomorrow. And we think it's silly, but how many of us has been guilty and how many people are still guilty of saying, I'll give my life to the Lord tomorrow. I'll give my life next week. I'll give my life next time. I'm going to do it sooner or later. You're living with the frogs. You're living still under the bondage of the devil. You're still living in the kingdom of darkness. And if something happens to you before that time comes, because you don't have the promise of it, then you'll spend an eternity in hell. Why would you put off what you can get done right now? Why? I went one time, I had fluid behind my eardrum, and I went to see the ear doctor, and he looked in and he said, you got fluid in your ear. And he said, we need to get it off there. He said, you got two choices. And I said, okay, what's the choices? He said, well, I can go in there with a needle in past your eardrum and suck the fluid out. He said, that's a little bit painful. And he said, it's kind of tedious to do. He said, you can take medicine and in 2 or 3 weeks it'll clear up. I said, get your needle. Because I couldn't hear. I don't know about you if you've ever had a ear get plumb stopped up, but, you know, plumb stopped up. I don't know if you had an ear get stopped up, but it's aggravating. You know, I was going around, one ear could hear, one ear couldn't. And guess what? He took the needle, and when I left his office, I could hear. He had to hold up other appointments so he could take care of that for me. But praise God, I wanted it done now. Listen, that's an ear. I'm talking about eternity. I'm talking about forever and ever and ever and ever. Our minds can't even comprehend an eternity. You're always going to be alive. But you've got two choices. You can be alive in heaven, where it's joy unspeakable and full of glory. In the presence of God and in the presence of the glory of God, or in a place that's called outer darkness, a place of torment where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, the Bible describes it as a place where the worm dieth not and the fire is never quenched. It's not a place that was ever prepared for human beings. It was a place prepared for the devil and his angels. And so, you know, right now you have a choice. You're Pharaoh, and you get to say when it goes. You say, well, yeah, but you know, now the Lord's got to draw a person. That's right, you wouldn't be here if the Lord hadn't drawn you here. So if you're here, God's drawing you. You already know that you need to say now. But you have to make that choice. You have to make that decision. It'll be up to you. Pharaoh decided to wait till tomorrow. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 3. Let me show you something here. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you'll hear His voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. In the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore, I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said, today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. For some, when they heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom swore that they should not that they should not enter into rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Now, here the writer in Hebrews, he's talking about Numbers chapter 13, where when God told him, you can go over and you can possess your land now. He sent out the spies, said, go check it out, make sure it's like I said it was. They come back and it's exactly like God said it was. 10 of the spies gave an evil report, said, we're not able to take the land. There's giants over there and all the Ites live over there. But Joshua and Caleb said, we're well able. Let's go up and take it once. And they said, oh, no, we can't do that because there's giants in that land, and we were in their own sight as giants and in our own sight as giants. They said, we just look like grasshoppers compared to them. And they were giants. Think about that for a minute. They could take possession of that land right then. It's the land of milk and honey. It's their promised land that God says you can have it. All you got to do is go take it now. God had already promised them He'd run them out with hornets. All they had to do is just do their part. And do it now, when God said. But because they didn't obey God, they ended up wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. 40 years. All they had to do is cross. And they wandered round and round for 40 years. And all those that didn't believe God, though all those that believed the evil report of the spies, they all end up dying in the wilderness. They didn't get to go to their promised land because they refused to believe God and do what God said. Can I tell you something? If you don't do what God says, if you don't believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that He died on a cross and was placed in a tomb, and you need to make Him Lord of your life, if you don't believe that, then you'll never get to heaven. But if you do believe that, then you need to do what He says. You need to call upon the Lord today. Why? Because He said, today, if you hear His voice, harden not your heart. You see, you can't put off because you think, well, this, I've got plenty of time, because again, you don't know. I think about the five foolish virgins and the five wives. There were 10 virgins. They all went out to meet the bridegroom. If you understand that parable in the Bible, it's all a parable of Jesus coming after the church, because the bridegroom's coming after his bride. But the Bible says that he tarried. In other words, he hadn't made it there yet. And why he tarried, they all got sleepy. They all laid down and slept. And then the call came, behold, the bridegroom cometh. And they all raise up, and the five wives had taken oil with them. And they had oil to put in their lamps. When they trimmed their lamps, they were in good shape. They could go on to meet the bridegroom. And they get up, and the foolish is there, and they say, oh, can we have some of your oil? Because our lamps are gone out. And they said, we've only got enough for us. You'll have to go out and get you some oil somewhere. Can I tell you, I can't go to heaven for you. You can't go to heaven for me. When Jesus comes after the church, when the bridegroom comes, you have to be ready for you. You can't be counting on somebody else because they just got enough for them. You have to make up your mind, am I going to make sure that I'm a wise person, that I've got oil in my lamp when Jesus comes? And I've got extra, praise God. I don't know about you, but I don't want to just have enough. I want to have overflow. Come on, I want to have the extra. I want to live my life with the extra here on this earth so that the anointing of God is in my life so that I can always know I have an abundant supply of the anointing. Amen. So today, I want to stop here, and I just want to just say this. I want you to decide, do I want Jesus in my life or do I not? Because you've got this moment right now. You've got this. You're breathing right now. You have a choice right now. You can make that choice to have Jesus in your life right now. Now, I understand that there's folks that sometimes they've gotten saved and they've gotten away from the Lord. They've drifted away. You need to come back. I know what it's like. I was there. I know what it's like to get away from God, get caught up in the world. You know, it's been a long, long time ago, but I've never forgot it because it was such a mistake. Probably the greatest mistake I ever made in my life. But thank God, when I repented, He brought me right back into sonship. Wrapped His arms around me, said, "I love you," just like I'd never been going anywhere. Why is that? Because He forgave my sin, throwed it to the depths of the sea, never to be remembered again. That's what He does with our sin. Jesus paid the price on the cross for you and I. He went to the tomb. On the third day, He rose again. And He says, if you'll believe that and confess Me as Lord, you shall be saved. You don't have to wait. You don't have to put it off. You don't even have to think about it. All you've got to do is believe and confess. So I'm going to ask you all to stand with me right now, if you would. We're going to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask You right now, Father, You deal with hearts. You deal with every individual. Only You and they know if everything's all right between You and them. And I pray, Father God, Lord, that to this day, there'll be those, Lord, that are not right with You that'll say, "I'm making my mind up right now. Today's my day." Lord, they'll come and they'll surrender themselves to You. They'll choose not to wait till tomorrow or another day, but they'll choose today because they are hearing Your voice. They know it's today. They know it's now. I just pray right now, Father God, Lord, that You just allow the Holy Ghost just to surround them in love as only You can. Let the unction of the Holy Spirit bring them, Lord, that You can save them and You'll get the glory for it all. We thank You for that in Jesus' name.